This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
From the ArmeniaProud.com studios,
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on lineupmedia.fm.
Genatsit, genatsit, pai luis inchpesek. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing great.
And I guess we've got one that jumped off the ship one day early.
One day early.
One day early for Christmas vacation. And I've got an empty seat next to me here. And Chris has taken off. I think he's headed to Chicago or somewhere.
Yeah, I think they.
The Griswolds are driving. Yeah.
Well, last time he took a train. So.
Yeah. Yeah. He's he really enjoys that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Personally, the weather's becoming a little cold now, and you've got snow in the air with it's kind of getting wet too. And
yeah, it's a little rainy.
I live about 55 minutes away from here.
Yeah, I know.
So it's kind of like I got to drive slow. But the people in Armenia, man, they're going through some wicked, wicked storms of winter snow right now. It's unbelievable over there. And I don't think they got real good street maintenance with the plows. That's the word I'm looking for. Plows. I kept thinking of shovels. Why would there be shovels in front of trucks?
Well, yeah, it'd be the plow in front of it.
Yeah, there'd be a plow. Anyway, that's an Armenian thinking there. We always shoveling, never plowing. But anyway, that's what we got. It's getting a little cold here. Everyone's getting ready for Christmas. And Christmas for our Catholic Armenians, is this coming weekend. This Sunday we have Christmas. And the Armenians around the world, though, we celebrate it on January 6th. And that's our Orthodox.
Really?
Yeah, that's our Orthodox, Armenian Orthodox.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. But you may want to check up on that. I hate to give the wrong date. And
all right,
well,
then I'll give you your present on January 6th then instead of now.
Yeah, great, because then you'll probably get it anything you want on special after Christmas.
Get it real cheap after Christmas.
Yeah, there you have it. There you have it. And so, you know what, for our quarter Armenians that are Catholic out there, Merry Christmas. And do you do the Santa Claus thing?
I do not do the Santa Claus thing, at least not yet. I figured if I got older, you know, I could probably pull it off. But
dude, if you get your gray, you get a gray beard going, mm-hmm. I guarantee you'd be hired every day throughout.
I'm looking forward to it, actually. But no, in my family, they never actually did anything about Santa or told us about him or anything like that. We knew he existed,
man.
But we knew that our parents were buying the presents.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's horseshit.
No.
Man, I mean, that you're missing out on that. I mean, you missed out on that because me, I look forward to the six-year-old. I got her to write in Armenian and in English, some sort of Galan Baba, which is Santa Claus. I've been good. I've been good with my mom and dad. And so, you know, it's been kind of cool that I did that. And she wrote a letter. And then I go, let's go to Santa's workshop now.
Mm.
And we went to a place up at by Six Flags. It's called the Mountain something. I don't know.
I haven't heard of that one, actually.
Yeah, it's out there. And it's beautiful. And they have the mailbox where you drop it off. And if she's listening, Santa Claus is coming. For sure. So anyway, I look forward to that. It's really exciting to me to see their face and, well, see her face. The 16-year-old
is
like, she, But you know what?
Your 16-year-old doesn't write to Santa?
No. And the thing on her is she told me she had a great time when I used to do that.
Oh, that's good.
So, you know, no. I mean, I look forward to that.
I mean, I always had fun with my parents. But, yeah, we never did the Santa thing. It just was what it was.
And then, the one thing that I hate is people that say, little kids that come up to your kid or what. You know who broke my 16-year-old's heart?
No.
Some little Jewish kid.
Really?
Some little Jewish kid come up to my kid and said, there's no such thing as Santa. And my kid goes, well, what are you talking about? My dad told me, and they gave him facts and everything. And Jewish kid ruins Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because they don't have it. I should go around ruining their 12 days of Hanukkah. I don't even know what the hell they do there.
Well, I think it's funny. In Armenia, though, you would think that there would be a sort of a bigger connection to St. Nicholas and all that, right? Because he was kind of like right there in that same area.
St. Nicholas was actually German, wasn't he?
No, he was Greek. But he lived in like the where he went and traveled was in like the Turkish, you know, Armenia, like all in that area.
Really?
Yeah, that's where he did his most work, and that's what he was canonized for.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
So, I mean, St. Nick, like, he probably hung out with Armenians at some point in time.
My God, we've even created Santa. Santa is from Armenia. I hope so. I don't know. Hey, Brian, you can't believe this, bro. I was in the kitchen. I was kicking back. I was helping the wife with some dolma sarma, okay?
Yeah.
I heard this great song. I think it's called Arev Arev, okay? It's
okay.
Arev Arev. Arev means sun.
Sun. Okay? Yep. Like the sun or a sun?
No, just sun.
Oh, okay.
Like sun, the heat blazing down on you. And it's called Arev Arev. And I went to the living room, and I checked out this video. It's a great video, and it's got these guys just having a great time on this yacht. They're just sailing along. I mean, not sailing along. It seemed like they're having a great time on this yacht. The guys, gals there. And I said, my God, I'm just going to listen to this music. And it was the singer named L.A. Barbarian. And I got L.A. on the phone here. It was such a great time listening to you, brother. Love to have you on the show. Great to have you.
Thank you, Jano. Thank you, Brian. How are you guys doing?
Everything is great, Yelpar. Everything is great. It's a little cold. It's a little cold in St. Louis.
It is chilly, yes.
Yeah, but you're pretty much a little bit colder up in Montreal, aren't you?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We're hitting minus 15 today and a lot of snow coming in.
Oh.
It's perfect weather for Christmas. And so for now, we're enjoying it to the max.
Oh, wow. Wow. Ellie, like I was saying to Brian, what a great video, and good job on that, my man. I said I have to interview you, and I looked you up, and you seem to do very well with the videos. I mean, do you just how do you come up with the song to say this is the one to do a music video to?
That's a very nice question you asked, John, because the most important thing, the most difficult part of our craft is to know which is the song that's going to talk to people's hearts and be able to bet on it and have the vision. So we had second thoughts about this song. We had two other songs that we could have spent the budget on and made a video clip. However, me and my guys, when I say my guys, they're my lifetime friends, Marco Mastertantam and Paul Malahanyan, my producer. We agreed, three of us, that this is the best song. We need a summer hit, something that could replace Anabadi Arev, something that could be fun and talking to the Armenian youth for North American experience. So that's why we came up with this song. It's a beautiful, cute song. And the video clip, we shot it in Miami. Took us two days of on or around 14-hour shooting. A lot of fun going on there. And it was really fun. It was really fun.
It looked beautiful. A lot of beautiful people around you in that video too, my friend.
Thank you. You guys were missing. Yes.
Were the guys there your old-time friends?
Yes. We've been playing together as a unity now, a boy band, let's say. And we're known under my name, Eli Berberian. However, they're the soldiers behind the scene.
Oh.
Marco Mr. Tam-Tam is a very well-known Tam-Tam player, a mind-blower. Every time he comes on stage, you know, people are looking forward to see him. Paul Malafanyan is a very, very talented producer slash keyboard player, and he makes the magic happen. And I'm the face of the band. So in this video clip, I wanted to give some recognition to the people around me,
sure,
so that the audience knows who are, you know, those beautiful people that, you know, and in the video it says, Marco Mr. Tam-Tam, Paul Keys. So it was a fun experience with some beautiful people. You're right on there.
Yeah, yeah. What goes into putting a video like that? Do you do you have your own people that just say, let's shoot this? Or do you bring in film people involved in this? There's got to be a lot of work put into one of these.
A lot of work goes on. You start by, let's say, contacting the producer, telling him the vision. And then the producer's name is Saif Ali. He has the AA production, AA Films, his company.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to translate the song word by word to him so that he understands the concept. He understands.
Right.
He knows the angles. He knows how to do it, where to do it. The props. He suggested that us the yacht. He suggested us the drone footage, the location, sunny Miami. And then you start putting things together. Like the girls came from three different agencies, and we had to fly to Florida and stay a couple of days there and shoot the video, hoping that the weather would help us. And indeed it did.
Bravo, man. It was tremendous. It was beautiful. I was just captivated by it. When did you say that this music is me? When did you pick up this to where you say, you know what, I can make money off of this too? This is a great business for me.
Again, a very, very nice question. Thank you for asking all these questions, Jono.
I'm not done with you yet either.
Interestingly enough, I'm an opera singer, okay? I've done my education, 6 years of conservatory, and then 8 years of education at McGill University, graduated with a master's degree.
Wow.
So as you see, the pop world is a little bit far from me, but not as far as not being able to pull it off. So what we did is took a venture with this video clip, because usually, you know, they call me for The Voice. They know that I'm a vocal singer. I'm a vocalist, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So this pop chapter in my career came up as, you know what, we can do it. If we can do it nicely, the song and the recording, the feelings in it, we can pull it off, actually. And it was a venture. We did, we took a risk. And fortunately, thank God, we were able to hit 600,000 views in a matter of 2 months, which is a very, very
big number.
Big number for a Spirka High singer.
That's outstanding, Ellie. That's outstanding. Which leads me to the next question that you were really into right there. I love how you blend pop with Armenian music. The mix together seems like a great transition. Is this actually, this is a two-part question too, but is this kind of a something that you have to put together? You see a lot of Armenians now doing it too. Is it very difficult, or is it flowing really smoothly together like that?
It's challenging to get the pop sound going, knowing that us as Armenians, we are raised on more of the vocal side of things, more of the expression side of things. So it's challenging to put together a music that has easy listening flow to it. You don't have to go deep and search for deep meaning in it and search for deep voice in it. To simplify things, what I've realized after all this experience, 23 years of experience on stage, to simplify stuff is the height of artistry. You become a master when you bring something to the table which is simple and good, on a very good standard at the same time. So that's the fine line that artists are flirting with. That's what I think. If you see the Western world, you see what Drake is doing, you see what Rihanna is doing, you see all these pop stars. Mm-hmm. The songs are very simple, yet very catchy and very easy listening. They give you, they put you in a mood. So that's why, that's what we were after with Arif Arif.
Well, you definitely, I succeeded, which brings me to the next question. Now, you have music from Armenia, and you have the Western Armenian sound. Do you guys, when you're putting music together, do you think I have to have a blend of this and a blend of this to make it successful? Is there anything that goes through your minds like that as well?
Absolutely, yes, because we are in an era where the music fluidity, the fluidity of lyrics, comes from the Western Armenian version, the Arevelahai version. So instead of saying Siremkes, you say Sirumenkes. So
right.
It's more fluid. It's more music. There's more musicality in the lyrics. However, knowing that, if you over-exaggerate that, the Skirkahai fans, such as me and you or your daughter or your cousins, won't be able to connect to the song. So you have to niche it in a way where it's good for both sides. And it's not, the lyrics are not very hard to understand. I have a daughter, a 13-year-old daughter, that goes to an Armenian school, that if I start over-exaggerating the meaning or putting some words that they cannot grasp, this generation is listening to pop, American pop music.
Right.
You cannot stop them. Their media is so huge. So you have to create that sweet point where the generation, the Armenian new generation, starts to connect with something. And that comes in the form of repeating the words, what they do in the American music, let's say, or in the pop world. They repeat the verses, they repeat the same chord progressions. So if you know the key for that, if you find out the key for that, you're onto something there. So it's the start of a simple, nice project that could connect to everybody.
Right, right. What's more difficult to you? Is it the opera singing or this type of pop singing?
Opera singing is absolutely difficult. You have to be very much in shape. It could affect your social life in terms of being an athlete. You're just an athlete. So you have to respect your sleeping hours. You have to practice 4 or 5 hours a day without tiring your voice, learning different languages. I used to sing in Russian, German, English, French, Italian. So you have to master all these languages, master the styles, and be able to pull it off within your character in an opera setting, within your character with the costumes and everything. So everybody else in the pit, the musicians, they're reading their music. However, you are expressing your music, and everybody else could do something and get the note going, let's say the violin or the piano or the trumpet section. But you can't do that. You're just a human voice. You could be under the weather. You could be emotionally detached. So it's very hard to become an opera singer. I've pursued it for 15 years. I had the chance to do it professionally. However, I thought of giving something to my people, my nation, to be able to connect with them. And opera wasn't the key. Opera was, even if I had to sing classical Armenian, I would connect, let's say, to 5% of the audience. So I didn't get the target there, what's the popularity. So what I did is modify my voice, modify the lyrics, modify the style, put the ego aside, that, you know, I'm
right,
an overqualified singer for these things and everything. Once you do that, you can capture more audience, and that's where the message goes through.
Which one was the first song for you that you made this transition? Was it something in 2009? Which song was it? I seen you had a song out in 2009. Was that your first one out that you made the transition with?
That was my first experience as a composer, writing my own lyrics and writing my own song, and just hoping for the best. which has evolved into different level now, connecting with more audience, singing for the to the audience, and not singing for your own feelings because you feel like that, because you want that song to be to sound like that. That's a little bit abstract. So my first experience came mixing opera with Armenian through the folk songs, Sayat Nova songs.
Mm.
So Sayat Nova kind of has that flow, that operatic flow, and it has a discipline, and it's kind of folk classical. You can't do whatever you want in it. You can't express or overexpress in it. You have to sing it the right way so that you respect that folk tradition. So that was my debut, let's say, the melange between the opera world and the Armenian world, which evolved into weddings, and then more popular singing, and then more popular singing, and here we are today.
Bravo, bravo. You know, it's amazing that you say that. Brian, remember Danny last week? He said Sayat Nova. It has, it's even influenced our jazz musicians and so forth. I mean, it's so influential, and here you brought it up again, and this is from classical music. Sayat Nova must be the blueprints to Armenian singing as well.
Absolutely. 300 years old tradition, a composer way ahead of his time, a composer where people were getting prosecuted by the church for drawing something else other than, let's say, our iconic saints. He was talking graphically about the woman's body, and he was talking unshyly about love, pure love, not only platonic love. Like, he could get really into details of love by conquering all the aspects of the human, of the female body, her beauty, her hair, her eyes, and even more. So this composer was way ahead of his time, and they appreciated him back then. And till now, it makes sense. The lyrics make sense. You can relate to it. But the problem is, you have to explain it to the audience prior to singing, because it's in old Armenian, right? He says something like, "Hiskuvimetan chinkidi, javahir karinamanis." I would never be able to evaluate you. You are more precious than a diamond. So once you say that to the audience, with the nice music, "Hiskuvimetan chinkidi," so they start connecting with you. So that's where the folk lost its popularity, by people not being able to understand the meaning of that, the poetry that goes on. They know they're listening to something very good. However, they cannot connect because there are so many words that are foreign, so coming from Persian, coming from Turkish, coming from Arabic descent. So that's Sayat Nova's magic right there.
That is beautiful. And it makes complete sense as well as being an Armenian. What Armenian singer has been a big influence to you?
The all-time legend, a living legend, his name is Rupen Matyosyan. In Spirkahai, we know him as Rupik Matyosyan. And he's an all-time legend. He's been the idol of so many pop singers even. Armar Ovanesyan is my good friend. Vovanes Shahbazyan, Lilito Vanesyan. He's been idol for, they idolize his sound because he had something very godly given, very nice musicality going on, and he was able to connect in the Soviet era with so many audiences with this kind of songs that weren't popular. So he popularized them. And then in Sayat Nova, if you're going to go deeper, you have Nora Erman Atsaganyan, who is staring till now in the 1967 Dumb Music musical movie, Sayat Nova's Life. So when you see that movie, everything that Sayat Nova's character is singing, it's Nora Erman Atsaganyan's voice, a very velvety, very nice voice, connecting to the audience. So these two icons have inspired me to sing and love that style. Not only Sayat Nova, we have Ashuragan style, which is Sayat Nova and all the Ashurs, and then we have Kusanagan, who are the generation after Sayat Nova. So we're talking at the turn of the 19th century, 20th century, so which composed the same style and became even better at it, given the times and given the circumstances that they were living in. Sayat-Nova's time, it was a lot of conflicts going on, a lot of wars going on. And he was a politician slash lover slash poet slash composer that ended up being exiled. And he ended up his life, by being a priest, by becoming a priest, and donating his compositions to the Armenian religion, to the Orthodox religion. So very, very magical character.
Very, very much so. You know, I got to tell you, my favorite singer, and I think he was in Montreal in his later years, was George Tutujian. I grew up on listening to George and from Beirut all the way till America, and I still put the CDs in, man, and it's unbelievable that how much influence he's had on me as a patriotic and national, and that voice was just unbelievable. So did you ever have a chance to meet him in that area?
I didn't have a chance. I came in late to Montreal in 2006. I think he passed away on or around that time. However, I'm very good friends. Actually, my next door neighbor is his son.
It's his son?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to tell him. I love his music.
Next to my house. Yeah, he's my next door neighbor. A legacy, a big legacy that George Tutujian left when the time came and, the patriotism was in the air. He was able to put it in music. He was able to inspire with the music. He was, he was a leader, let's say. A leader, an icon that created that kind of feeling and experience for the audience.
Yeah, I think I never heard, again, a male singer sing patriotic music like that. I mean, there's been so many that have come along, but none have repeated that type of work, and you know, it's amazing that you said you were into opera. He had that opera voice with it as well, which made it very cool how he blended that together. Yeah, with the Armenian music and the opera singing with it, it was sensational. What's our game plan now? Are you headed to Armenia at all?
I just came back from Armenia. We visited Armenia for 3 nights. Unfortunately, we didn't stay there long. It was my fourth visit to Armenia. And I saw it like never before. Beautiful, beautiful place. Beautiful people.
Isn't it? It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yes. And as Tirkanites, we have that respect and fear from Armenia, you know? The mafia thing that's going on, I don't know what. I got to put this point going because their Karen Mirmech, culture has that fear from Armenia. But I felt myself in a first world country, actually. Very beautiful scenery, very beautiful people, very civilized people. You could walk 4 o'clock in the morning, nobody could touch you.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to say that, Ellie. At 2 a.m., you're walking in the streets and you feel like you're safe, you're at home. And, I'm from, I live in America, and they see me. I look like an Odar to them, but they're just great people in Hayastan. It's just amazing.
And the art side of it, every building has its own story. The cab driver could end up being a huge connoisseur in artistry, in paintings. Is that it's a very mysterious and culturally oriented country. I think it's a jewel that you won't be able to find it. Like it could easily compete with Italy, Vatican, the European, let's say, Renaissance period and its legacy. We're very lucky to have a country like that. And I know it's a young, very young country. It's been like 25 years we're out of the oppression. But we've made it a long way. I visited in 2009, 2010, and each year you see the huge, huge change in telecommunications, in transportation, the way the people are dressing, the way the people are acting, the huge trust from companies that are investing, it's really a jewel that's going to end up being, we're bringing something to the table. There's going to come a time in a couple of years, you're going to say, I am an Armenian, my homeland is Armenia, I'm really proud to be an Armenian. It's really, really good. Forget about the corruption. Forget about the other, let's say, a pain that we have, which is very normal for a newly formed government, newly formed people. But we're going a long way.
You know what, folks? Ellie brings up a great point. If you're Armenian and you're always making a trip to possibly Cancun or Mexico or someplace in Europe, why not? Why not give Armenia a chance? Because like Ellie is saying, I'm saying the same thing. When you go there, it's not about just catching Armenia and seeing how the people, I mean, you are going there seeing what was, you know, part of your life. That's history, part of your ancestries there. And it's one of the most beautiful nations and one of the most beautiful people there. It's outstanding. So you repeated exactly everything I said too, Ellie. It's, so when you went there, was it, were you planning on doing any shows there, or did you get anything, any record, any sounds did you do in Armenia?
Well, we've done that in the past, but this particular visit, I was invited with my dad as good friends of Arman Avanesyan, who is the first Armenian singer in the world today. Armen Shekirit Avanesyan, these are very like iconic young generation that are inspiring a lot of people. Having, let's say, 14 million views on YouTube from a nation of 12 million tells you a lot. It tells you that they're popular 120%. So Arman's daughter's baptism, he invited us to the baptism, and we got the pleasure, we had the pleasure of meeting Arman when he visited Montreal, where we showed him the Montrealer hospitality. We took him to some iconic places and this and that. So a friendship developed from there, and he invited us to his daughter's baptism, which in the Armenian culture, and let's put it under parenthesis, quote, highest country culture, he's giving you trust and an honor.
Right.
For you to be as a spiritual eye at his daughter's baptism. Like, you know, if you don't feel comfortable and if you don't respect a friend, you won't invite him all the way from Canada or all the way from Illinois to Armenia, or let alone anywhere else in the world, even the same country, to your daughter's baptism. So there, we got the pleasure of enjoying the Armenian art in terms of Harut Pampukchan was there, Armenchik was there, Andy Madadian was there, Rufik Matyosyan was there, Lili Tovanesyan was there. Every Armenian icon that you would think about were there. It teaches us that these artists have communications together. They have mutual respect to each other.
Right.
They share their happiness and their grief for each other. When Armenia went through hard times, let's say in April, the war, all the jobs, you know, ceased. But you cannot laugh when or have fun and do care when soldiers are dying on the border. So these artists were together thinking of what to do, what kind of repertoire to sing for the people, how to revolutionize or amplify the events that are happening without ignoring them, without going, you know, and looking for anything else than patriotism. So they started producing patriotic songs. It's a school that you learn from it. They know anything and everything about everybody's contracts, who's getting what. They have respect to each other. Very respectful competition going on there that we need. We absolutely need in the Spirkahai. Artists are friends of artists.
Right.
I, as an artist, should become the biggest fan of anybody who sings Armenian. I'm his biggest fan. I'm his number one fan. I don't see him as a competition. I don't have the right to do so. So
you're
that's
right.
What it taught me when I was there.
Very good point. Very good point. So that kind of brought me on to this question as you were saying that you had to be proud as hell when you seen System of a Down playing in Armenia on April 24th in Yerevan.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Don't you think that we should do that more often, though? I think they probably lit something. They lit a candle that I think we should keep this up now. We should have more musicians the day before. We ought to just make it a one day, kind of like a Lollapalooza or something like that in Armenia. But let's not forget. Let's rally all of Yerevan together. All of the streets, everyone should just be there, just enjoying and reflecting and remembering, and maybe even that'll bring in much more people from the West to come to Armenia that day for the next day to have the remembrance for the genocide.
Absolutely, and now we are very lucky that the genocide issue, the genocide has yet end. Today, after 100 years, changed from grieving, from grief, to victory. So we don't have to look at the genocide as, you know, a dark era, a dark chapter. The genocide was a vessel that made the whole world recognize that there is a small spot called a small number of people, 14 million in the world, which is nothing. Compared to the huge populations. These people were prosecuted, and they came up victorious. They kept their religion, they kept their language.
Yeah.
They kept their language, and they kept their Armenian spirit. Even if you don't speak the language well, which a beautiful example of that is Gomidas Vartabek. When he was 7 years old, he went to Kevork Katolikos at the time as an orphan, and he didn't speak one word Armenian. So Kevork Katolikos told him, do you know Armenian? He said, no. He said, then what are you doing here? He said, I'm Armenian at heart. I can sing Armenian. So while he was singing Armenian by Gomidas quotes, he says, tears were coming down from the white beard of the Catholics of Armenia.
Wow.
So that teaches us that the Armenian spirit is invincible. It's a very beautiful, beautiful patriotic feeling. We're not racist people. We are patriotic people. We love our culture. We love our nation.
We are very patriotic.
We love to bring it. Yeah, exactly. So language is not a barrier. Me and you speaking in English in order to connect with non-Armenian speakers. There's
right.
not a barrier between us to feel that Armenian spirit, to feel that, you know, that feeling of patriotism.
Well, Ellie,
it's a very, very, very sensational history that we have.
You know, I have... I get messages from Armenians abroad that say, why can't you do the show in Armenian? I would love to do it in Armenian, but you know what? I speak English, and for the Armenians in the West that are living in America and Canada that speak English too, this is my way of keeping them on the boat as well. This is my way of preserving Armenian culture in this way, to get our message across to them so they could find out what's going on with the Ellie Barbarians, the David Bedrosians, or Danny Bedrosian, all these people out there that are Armenian, that are, you know, I just didn't want to make it a show about, you know, thinking about the genocide. I want us to show out there what good our people are doing out there too. So I appreciate it so much. Do you have any advice for a young singer that wants to, you know, follow your footsteps or follow a singer's footsteps by saying, you know what, I love to do this. There's got to be a lot of time put into this, isn't there?
Absolutely. A lot of time and a lot of effort. And in the Spirtahai culture, unfortunately, we have the singers as entertainers. We don't try to see, or we don't have the capacity to see the artistry behind it. The importance of having an Armenian singer in a community. One singer or one artist in a whole community of 60,000 can illuminate that culture. And you could have yourself a nice Armenian cast. You could have yourself, no matter how the singer sings, no matter what kind of mistakes he does, no matter what his education is, he is being able to transfer you from 0 to 10. It could be 2, it could be 8, it could be 12. The culture that brings you back to your roots. So now we are lacking sponsors in this. Unfortunately, I say this, I don't say it in a bad meaning that everybody is not sponsoring or everybody is cheap or whatever. I'm saying it in a way that Armenians in Armenia have sponsors. I've talked to very big singers, big names, and they couldn't have done what they've done had that, let's say, big check not appeared from somewhere, a sponsor that believes in them. In the Spirkahai culture, we don't have that. So let's say, for example, I want to do a video clip. Any song that you want to do a video clip of out of caliber, you got to spend anywhere between, $18 to $30 American, U.S. An average singer cannot do that if they're netting, let's say, $10,000 a year from what they're doing. By doing favors to the community, by doing favors to the miniatures. So you need a sponsor. You need awareness that this, without it, if I have a magic wand and change, let's say, the singer into anything else, any other profession, the culture would die. You wouldn't have a Christmas with Armenian songs. You wouldn't have, let's say, any Barahante and any Armenian singing in it. So we have to encourage this new generation to give them a hand so that they know that, you know what, it's worth it. There are people who believe in us. I'm not alone in my room singing and my dad and my mom telling me and my cousin telling me you have a good voice. And then going out there and nobody recognizes me. Nobody knows about me.
You're definitely right. We just have to support each other. I mean, you look at the Jewish people, how they support one another. I think Armenians have done that well, and we can't stop now. If we see our community in the dire need of help in this area or help in that area, it's not only singing. We have to contribute and help out as much as we can with our community. That's for sure.
Absolutely. And start really realizing our talents.
You're
if
right.
If you see a talent, a young violinist, if you see a young vocalist, we have to be able to have people in the community who could know people or connect with people and sponsor them. You have a nice violinist. She's playing amazing violin. Okay, what is she? Is she doing? 5 years, 10 years along the road, she's going to get tired by herself. So can we give her a small token of appreciation, a couple of, buy-ins? For her to get into a conservatory, maybe she would pay 90% and the community could pay 10%. But that 10% goes a long way. It shows support, it shows wisdom, and it shows that we understand the talent and we want them to flourish. How did all the actors come and the producers come? Unfortunately, it's funding that's lacking. Unfortunately.
Right.
Unfortunately, that's what's lacking.
No, you're right about that, Ellie. And God bless, you seem like you care very much for the Armenian people out there as much as we can. I mean, that's what it's all about. Everyone needs the help out, and God bless that you're doing it. What's your next project? You got anything going?
I have two more video clips coming up, in God's will, if we can get some of the logistics out of the way. I have a lot of concerts coming up, very different places in the world. That's the beauty of our culture, from Australia to Sao Paulo to North America, Boston, New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Florida, Los Angeles. So it's a beautiful, beautiful art. I haven't treated it as a work. I enjoy every moment I do it, and no matter what the consequences, the obstacles, the people that give you a hard time or a good time, I get the best experience out of it, and that's what we're born to do. Once you go on that stage and you start singing, you know that, you're doing something great.
Bravo.
For the nation, that maybe after 50 years, they will pay millions of dollars.
Well, Park Diroch, Yechbar, very well. You're on the right track. God bless. We will stay in touch. And if you got anything coming let us know. Let me know. You got my number. Let me know, and we'd love to put it on our site. Let the people know in that area that you will be playing. I mean, we're worldwide, and we've got a lot of fans everywhere. So, you know, we'd love to help out. You're always a friend of the show.
Thank you, John. And to the record, I appreciate the hard work you put into this. I know that you do it from your heart, and that's evident. You found me from the Rams of Montreal. Thank you very much for the opportunity. We appreciate it, and God bless you and your hard work.
Thank you very much, Yep. I appreciate that more than anything. And that's Ellie Barbarian, my friends. Look for him coming to near your town. I mean, honest to God, good luck with everything. And I know if you're a fan watching this show, you'll definitely enjoy it, and you'll get up and start dancing with it.
Thank you much for the opportunity, and I wish you all the success in the world, Donald.
Thank you, Ellie. Thank you very much. That's Ellie Barbarian, my friends. Take care.
Regards. You too.
Well, you know what? I never knew Ellie got into opera music. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
He got into opera, and then he follows it up with this type of singing, pop singing, and that's beautiful. I, you know, you would think the contrast would be a little difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of a couple of other opera singers that transitioned to pop, and they didn't quite do it right, but man, this dude just sounds amazing. He's really good at transitioning between the two.
Right. And he had a video out of him in the car just driving, and he's going, I don't even know what I'm singing now, but it sounded really good. I mean, the guy does it really well.
I mean, opera is just so hard to do, too, because you've got to do it in so many different languages. And, I mean, he talked about that. So it's just incredible.
God bless, and we were very happy to have him on before our 1 week Christmas break. And my friends, I think you might be a little late now for the Amazon Christmas shopping, but you know what? It's never too late. You'll get great deals on Amazon. On Amazon, you find what you need, and besides that, you could definitely go through our site first. Our site is the key, though. You got to go through armeniaproud.com. Is it /
or /?
Just /, Amazon. So that's armeniaproud.com/Amazon and shop away. After Christmas, I'm sure there will be some great deals for you guys. And like I said, right now, I think it's kind of time pressed now, so you might not be able to get it for Christmas. But you never know with Amazon. They could drop it right through your chimney, just like Santa Claus. I mean, they're so good with everything.
They got those drones.
They got drones. I mean, you never know with Amazon. But if anyone's able to pull it off, it would be Amazon. So check into that. And friends, we appreciate everything that you guys have done for us, and keep doing it. It keeps everything lit up for us, our lights. So God bless, and Merry Christmas. And you know what? That's our Amazon plug. And lineupmedia.fm. Lineupmedia.fm, we have a lot of great shows, and a lot of great shows are around the corner too, relating with the Armenian life and culture. And we've got one out in L.A. right now called Armenian Nights. And
yeah.
It's
hilarious.
Outrageously good.
And even if you're not Armenian, it's hilarious.
Yeah, Michael does a great job out there. God bless Michael and the crew. And Ani. Ani's putting something together right now.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, she's been off a couple weeks. I think she's getting her game plan ready for a great show that she's going to have. Sarkis, he's getting one going too. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be
in Armenian, though.
In Armenian. Yep. I think that's great, because now you'll bring more Armenian people into the mix too. Mine, you know, I got a lot of people, Brian, that chime in and say, well, why can't you do it in Armenian? And then if I do anything in Armenian, it's Armenian and half-assed, so I'm not doing a real good Armenian job. And I don't want to cheat any Western Armenians out there that are in the same boat with me that just hack up the Armenian language. So you know what? At least I'm keeping the culture alive, my friends, my Armenian friends. Anankanenkorvor, Amemart, Siremer Haydenika, Amirgatsi Haydenunamar. So I just said I'm doing it for the Armenians that are in America. So anyway, my friends, you guys have a great Christmas. Brian, what do you got going?
Just spending time with family tomorrow night, and then on Christmas Day, I'm, you know, just going and spending it with my aunts and uncles.
And you got to thank your wife, if she listens to the show. Those cookies were outstanding. I love the one with the fudge in the middle.
Yeah.
How did she get that thing to really stand out like that?
Well, it's a Hershey's Kiss. You just take the cookie.
Oh, what a weasel. I thought she made that thing, right? And like, I said, man, I mean, what a design.
No, you just squish the Hershey Kiss in there, and then you bake it.
I gotcha.
Yeah, okay. those are tasty.
Very tasty. So
I got 1,000 more at home. So
I imagine. But for all the Armenians out there, have a great Merry Christmas if you're celebrating. You know, that's the thing about it. I think we celebrate twice, Christmas this time around, and I think we try to evolve around everybody.
Yeah.
So that's what it's all. But in any case, everyone be healthy, be safe, and, you know, stay good, my friends. We got each other. We got no one else. And we love you guys out there. Thank you for everything. And we're going to close out 2016. Next week, it's going to be a repeat show. And who do we have next week as our repeat show? We've got Edward Dorbeshian. And Edward, you remember Edward? He was part of the orchestra conductor of St. Louis, and it was
fantastic.
Outstanding.
Great interview.
Great interview, and we'll have him on. And by the way, I think Edward has got one of these Christmas classicals that he does every year, and he gets the St. Louis Symphony involved in it. So,
man,
it's going to be beautiful.
To
yeah. It's going to be, I think, next week sometime. Or possibly this week, following next week, too. So, in any case, that's what we got. We got Edward Dorbeshian next week as our guest repeat type of performance.
Best of,
yes.
Yes.
And not only that, we've got Diana Angelson. And Diana, right now, she's filming Immigrant Priest. And that's, I think that's coming up in 2017, one of her projects right now. And I see her a lot on Facebook. She's been promoting a lot of stuff that's going on in her life right now. And I think it's really important. And she's also got Armenia, My Love. This gal really does wonders. And she works her butt off. God bless her. And I can't wait to see her future projects. And we'll have her back on as well. So next week we've got... Best of with Edward Dorbeshian and Diana Angelson, my friend. So tune in for that. It's going to be a skeleton crew, but anyone that can pull this off is Brian, our producer. Brian, we stole Brian from a big radio station in St. Louis, and we couldn't be any happier with his work. He's been outstanding for us, and God bless. Thank you, Brian.
No problem, Jono.
All right, my friends, that concludes our show. You guys, like I said, everyone stay safe and healthy, and we will see you guys next year. Genatsit Kisher Party. So take care, my friends.
Tune in next week for another episode of A Toast to Armenia with Jono Kabinjian. Find the show online at armeniaproud.com. And subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation at facebook.com/ArmeniaProud or Twitter at ArmeniaProud. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.